Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach, Mary murdering her husband with a frozen leg of lamb. Think you know Roald Dahl? Think again. 8 new collections of Dahl's dark and twisted stories for adults reveal the darker side of human nature. Available now in paperback, ebook, and audio download.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grant Master.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Happens. Happens.
Happens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker from the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me as usual is a man more hilarious than the most hilarious man that you know. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and Bachelor in Paradise. Rose Pricks.
It's all right, Ben. It's over anyway.
Yeah, the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast. But it's fun to think that you're from Bachelor in Paradise.
I know. Well, you know, they are getting desperate over there on that show. They're like, all right, anyone who's losing their hair, possibly has skin disease, and is most likely at least kind of gay, come on the show.
Yeah.
I would totally fit. I'd just sit there and eat quesadillas all day, and people would still be fighting over you.
Yeah, I would watch that. It makes me want a quesadilla. I'm so hungry all of a sudden. Oh, my God.
Quesadilla. Quesadilla is not just a river in Egypt, Andy.
So today we are getting on with the important business of Real Housewives of Dallas. And then afterwards, of course, it's Wednesday. So we have a very special listener spotlight, which we hope everyone sticks around to listen to. You're not going to want to miss it. But first, let's talk some Dallas as the second season of Glory continues.
Oh, yes. And we also have to say, yesterday's bonus episode was of the Watch What Happens live interview with Luann de Lesseps, which we only kept as a bonus. We know people hate when that's like a real thing that we should be covering, but we have so many shows right now, we just did it as a bonus. But it is a full recap, and we had so much fucking fun doing it. So if you're not getting the bonus episodes, go over to Patreon and become a member.
Yeah, it's a good one to start with.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good one to start with. We kind of feel like it may be our best bonus episode we've ever done. So,
well, we laughed our asses off, so that's what's important, Ben, in the end.
Yes, so if you want to hear our take on the Andy and Luann one-on-one conversation live from Sag Harbor, go check out our bonus episode.
A little special. So Real Housewives of Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Well, it opens up in the most exciting way possible. People packing to go to Memphis. That's fun.
Yeah, the housewives packing. Dun, 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 dun. Pause. Music pause. Yeah. It's like that game of win the cake at church. Why do I keep talking about church? You guys, I think I'm ready to go back to church. I've talked about the Bible in every episode for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a sign. I mean, well, yeah, it's definitely it's a sign from upon high that musical it's time chairs. For you to get back in touch with your spirituality.
Well, that's why God invented bake sales or like musical chairs, bake, whatever. You can win a cake, okay? I'm going back to church. It's the only place you win a cake is what I'm saying.
Sounds good. So,
What do you even pack for Memphis? And Mark's like, I don't know, Elvis paraphernalia, country music. Like, you live in Texas. Why are you acting like it's so hickish in Memphis?
I know.
You were wearing like a tweed blazer last week. Like,
yeah.
Who's a hick?
Like, were you going to show up like in a jumpsuit, like a white jump, like rhinestone jumpsuit? So so we finally land on Brandy packing, and her daughters are just like crying and screaming and jumping all over the place. I'm starting to get the vibe that her kids are out of control. Is it just me?
The vibe.
I don't want to come on too harsh because people get mad when we talk about how other people's children turn out. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say things like, those kids seem like they're out of control.
Well, my notes say Brandy's kids, fuckers being fuckers. So so there you go.
Just screaming and crying and jumping around. I mean, I'm just still traumatized from last week when Brandy was on the phone and they were jumping on her back.
Oh, my God. They're just sobbing and running around being little terrorists. As the great late Bernie Mac once said, America, beat your children. It's like one of my favorite.
It's a great
one
note.
Of my favorite Bernie quotes. I love that guy. So she's like, we're heading to Memphis tomorrow to visit my grandpa who had a stroke. Life is precious. I hope they don't act so crazy. He has another one.
Yeah, whatever he stroked out guy wants. A couple of gingers running around screaming like little fuckers.
Some Wolverines. So then we go over to Deandra and Jeremy, and they're at home. And he's just gone back from doing a lecture about being a photojournalist. And, you know, she is basically she's like, a lot of women go to his lectures, and I'm always on his Facebook messages to make sure no one gets up in those DMs. But I can assure you, it's all very boring stuff. I'm like, she's terrifying.
She is. Did you notice how she was looking at him during the scene? She's sitting on the edge of the bed, just looking at him like, lecture, huh? But she was being nice, you know, and then her talking head thing was nice. But also I noticed that he said, hey, baby girl. Gross. Hate that.
Yeah.
You know, the lecture went great. I just opened it up to questions this time. And that way you're engaged in the audience. So you were too lazy to write a lecture. Is that what you're saying, Jeremy?
She's like, that's called a Q&A, not a lecture. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me, Jeremy.
She's like, so when you said you were working on your lecture the other night, you weren't working on a lecture. What were you doing? I will be in Facebook. I will be checking your Tinder, sir.
But the big news here is that Keaton, Jeremy's son, feels like he doesn't fit in Dallas and he wants to leave. Maybe they were expecting him to spell his name with an O instead of an I, but who knows?
And she's so mad because this was her chance to, like, stepmother.
Yeah.
And that kid's already like, fuck you, which, you know, it takes a long time to learn how to be like, fuck you, mom. I'm my own person.
Yeah.
And he's doing it like in the first couple of weeks. So she's really pissed.
Yeah. And he's also like the most polite fuck you mother person of all time. He's like, I don't think I fit in here. And she's like, nah. But she's just like going off on Keaton, like how he's, because he came here from South Carolina where he dropped out of school and he came here to start a new life and get a new college and everything. And she was like, I thought that we would motivate him. I thought he'd be motivated by seeing like the two of us together were both two go-getters. And like, we were going to just like show him like what you could do with life and all the exciting things. I'm like, if you're 21 and you're a slacker, the last thing you want to be around are two like hyper motivated people. You scared him off, especially if you've saddled him with all his eBay selling.
Yeah, but she's calling it so right. I mean, I'm reading different, you know, very intense opinions on El Internet, as that's what the internet is for. But some people are like, fuck her, she's too mean, that's not her place, is blah blah blah. But yes, it is. And this kid has never been told, obviously, like how to behave. He left his other house because he's depressed and he doesn't want to get a job. He's driving a fucking Dodge Charger or whatever.
Yeah, muscle, you know, car,
first of
muscle
all,
car.
We hate that. Yeah.
My muscle car theory returns. If you drive a muscle car, you're an asshole. Sorry.
Yes. Especially when you're like a scrawny asshole. You don't get to drive a muscle car.
Hipster
and then you
millennial.
Don't get to just fucking do nothing. He's like, I'm going to move in with my loaded stepmom and my dad and just lay around all day. No, sir. You do not get to do that. Get your own fucking job.
Yeah.
And I like when she's like, and because this is so Texan mothering too. This is how you get mothered in Texas. Like, when I talk to him, he's a vacant, zombie, vacuous, empty stare. It's just like this entitlement. He's just sitting there crying like a baby who didn't get his way after two goddamn months. I'm like, yes, girl. That is not this like hippie kind of mothering where it's like, right. How do you feel? No.
Yeah.
She's like, you better tell him he is cut off. He is not getting any money from us. He will never pack one of my expensive dresses again.
But by the way, good luck having that relationship with your stepson now that you've called him. Now that you said he has a zombie, vacuous, empty stare and is full of entitlement on TV.
Well,
good luck with that.
He needs to hear the truth because he does have that.
And well, he does.
He can't go through life acting like that.
No, he's the exact stereotype of a millennial, right? So that's on him now. Sorry, buddy.
Buddy.
We were all rooting for you.
You can tell his mom is crazy, like his birth mom that Jeremy divorced, because he knows how to deal like with a really yelly, naggy mom, because he just knows the right things to say. He's like a politician when he gets in trouble. He's like, well, everyone feels their own way, mother. It's like, oh, good. Don't try and placate me, you little fucker. The point is, you could have gotten out the dry vacuum and done something.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who pointed out that Jeremy sort of looks like a hot Al Gore. So, yes, that's been noted.
Way hotter. If that guy was getting professional massages, the massage therapist would naturally just start riding him like a horse. He wouldn't have to try and assault them, you know?
Yeah. So,
Gross Al Gore.
Gross. So now we're in Memphis, and the women, Carrie, Stephanie, and Brandy, and the two little girls, they're in the hotel. Oh, and it's also Brandy's mom. They're in the hotel, and there's ducks in the hotel, and that's fun. And then they go up to their room, and then the room's really nice. And then I think Stephanie makes a joke like, "I wonder what sort of sexual favors we have to trade to get this room, huh?" And then Carrie's like, "Huh? Well, I'm looking at this trip as 3 days off because it is every day with Mark, every single day. I mean, some weeks it's only 4 times, and some weeks it's just 10 times. It's just sex, 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 sex.
Ew. Ew. I don't care. That's gross. I'm glad you're having sex with your husband, but gross.
If it's true, I don't care. And if it's false, well, then something seems sad here.
But that's sad, yeah. And Brandy's like, well, I'm just going to give him a handy. And Steph's like, no. I have a pool in my living room. No. I could just do whatever I want right now. But I like with the ducks, Brandy's like, don't scare the ducks, kids. And it's just a shot of Brooklyn eating a duck like this. I was like, I know they cut that out. There's got to be a scene of Brooklyn just standing over this duck with its neck eaten out.
And then Anne from New Zealand runs in going, no, not the ducks. No.
Murderer!
So they start popping champagne, and poor Carrie. You know, Carrie, beautiful woman, but she is now, her eyebrows have gotten so raised up. She's starting to take on the shape of a Klingon. They are literally making a V in her brow. And when that champagne cork pops off, it's like, vroom! I'm like, what is happening, Carrie? You need to bring it down. Let's add some little weights on strings there, because it was your husband did too much there. Too much.
Yeah, there is such a thing as just getting too much free shit. If you marry a dude who works at an AutoZone, it doesn't mean you need 23 of those Christmas tree smelling things hanging all over the side of your car. We get it. You get it for free. Okay.
Yeah, you're still beautiful, but just let the eyebrow needs to come down a little bit, just a little, because it's getting too high and it's in the danger zone of looking crazy. It's not quite there yet, but this is a preventative tip. We're saying,
yeah,
just. You got to hold the line there with the eyebrow.
Yeah, she's got 19 of those big gulp holder clip-ons to air conditioning vents. It's you're not helping anybody, okay? Stop taking free shit from the AutoZone, Carrie.
So we learned that there's an ulterior motive with this trip for Brandy to see her grandpa, which is that since Brandy got back in touch with her grandfather last season, her grandmother, who is the one who basically erased, to use Tamara's parlance, erased the grandfather out of their lives, she's now pissed, and now she has stopped talking to Brandy and Brandy's mom. And, Brandy is and I'm like, this sounds familiar, Brandy. It almost sounds like something you did at the beginning of the season, and I thought I was so smart, but then she makes that point later on.
Yeah, it's sort of the erasal thing again, yeah, but...
Clearly they have a family pattern of not being able to handle things. And this grandma's got to get over it. I'm sorry. You only have a few years left. Enjoy your family. Don't be so petty.
That's a huge betrayal, when someone leaves you and they're cheating with somebody else and they fuck up the whole family. And then, you're just okay, well, I forgive them. It's like, well, I was the one who got left. I mean, I get that side because it's happened a little bit in my family a couple of times. But yeah, at the same time, the thing that bugged me about it was Brandy later. She's like, well, I didn't really make an effort to visit her after she cut me off. Like, even if she's being extreme, you shouldn't be waiting until there's cameras with you to show up at her door in the middle of the night. Like, she should have been trying before, you know, which she admits later.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Sort of.
It's sad.
That it is sad, but it's like, I feel like this lady also has to get over it. It's been like 30-something years. I'm sorry. I mean, she's probably still in love with the guy. That's what it comes down to.
Well, Brandy has this habit of bringing the most serious, awful shit onto the cameras that people are like, this is our real life. Like, I know it's a reality show, but like, the actual problems in our marriage that you feel ignored, why don't we talk about that maybe off camera? Like, why are you embarrassing me in a taco shop?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
And this is the same way. Like, what do you think your meemaw's going to do when you show up with a camera crew in the middle of the night just knocking randomly? She's not going to answer the door. Like, give her time to put on her wig. God, give her some notice, Brandy.
So then we go over to Cameron's house, and she has this like this poster board, this like silly poster board for her pink dog food that she'd be presenting to court at his office. And she's talking to her kids. She's like, mommy is on her way to show daddy about mommy's dog food line. And they're like, bitch, can you just get out of this kitchen already?
Do you guys want pink dog food? And her kid goes, no, I like brown. She goes, why do you like brown? Why do you want pink poop? And I thought, you know what? That's a very good observation, brat child.
It really is. It really is. Also, I'd like to point out that Hilton's little coloring book is more convincing than Cameron's visual presentation.
Yeah, it's like a science fair project. Yeah.
So
and it's pink. It's a $20 billion industry. And if I can get a sliver of that, then I'll own him instead of him owning me. Now, am I stupid or is he?
You know you are. So she goes to her husband's office and she drops the car off at the valet. And I loved it when she dropped off at the valet because she just goes, thank you. So funny.
Thank you.
Thank
so Court's like, and also I die every time she says his name. She's like, yeah. Court.
Like, she goes, I play the dumb blonde card because that gives him the power. And if he has the power, he thinks he's in control. I'm like, yeah, that's the way power works. If you give him the power, he's in control.
Joke's on him. And she comes in trying to, like, win points like a woman wins points with other people. Like, she's like, look at my pink suit. I haven't worn this since 2 years out of college. Like, your husband doesn't care. The rest of the women watching this, too, because that is damn enviable, woman.
Yes. Everyone, the rest of the women hate her, probably.
So it's not about facts and figures, Court. Okay? It's not about facts and figures. She's got a star diamond magic wand and a poster board.
She goes, he's like always looking at me with this blank, like, are you serious? What planet are you from? Face. And if he gives me that blank stare, that means I'm doing well.
Challenge accepted. She's like, when I act really stupid and make it not serious at all, that's how I get him. Like, that is so sad that you have to act like an idiot blow-up doll to get money from your husband.
Yeah. She goes, this is my business plan. He's like, that's a cardboard poster.
And he goes, she lifts a little flap because he said, is this real business? Have you even talked to anybody? She goes, I called a lot of people. Okay, Court. Most of them, yes. They hung up on me. But one person said, yes. Okay, and here is the price. And she lifts this little flap with her kid's magic wand, and it's $100,000. And she's like, this is $10 with lots of zeros and a period. And he's like, you need to take off a zero. And she's like, well, guess what? Joke's on him, because that's like taking off zero money, because zero is zero.
You're winning, Cameron. You're totally winning.
My goodness. I actually really hope this pink dog food comes to fruition, because now
it is.
Yeah,
someone posted it the other day. It's only got little pink bits in it, which, guess what? So does, like, Purina. Everything has little pink bits in it. But it's mixed with Brown, and it's super expensive.
Oh, my God.
And Court tells her, look, if you want to take this from blonde business to real business, give me a call. And she goes, blonde business is real business.
I didn't know whose side to be on at that point, because I was like, you know, that was so patronizing what he just said. But then she said that, and I was like, maybe he has a point. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it.
You know, if you marry a person who's missing a leg, it's your duty to always be there with a crutch. You know, you can't, like, complain suddenly that they don't have a leg. Like, you're deciding to support somebody. So he can't be, like, suddenly mad that she's showing up with a glitter wand. And he's like, okay, I support you. You'll get my money. Let's just talk about how much it's going to be.
Exactly. This is what he signed up for. And he's probably, by the way, spent more money on more trivial things. He's probably spent $200,000 on a tire.
I mean, his name is Court.
So
Memphis, the drive to Grandpa's house. Yeah. Stephanie's like, oh, I'm so excited to meet all of her extended family. It's like the finale of The Bachelor. I'm so getting that rose.
So then we go to the Grandpa's house, just like cousins and children of cousins and cousins of children. And it's just all like people climbing all over couches and people holding babies and people digging into casseroles and pouring drinks into glasses.
Girl, you know, that was like walking into a nun or like one of those places that people drop off their babies, you know,
yeah.
Like an adoption center. Everybody's handed a baby the second they walk in.
Like literally all the three women, like the three housewives who walked in, by the end of the scene, they were all holding a baby and feeding the baby. And you could see Carrie was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I feel strange without my pasta faucet.
She's like, I started holding my baby last year, so.
I don't even know whose this is or what it is.
I still think my daughter likes vanilla cake, so.
So we're working on things.
So Brandy and Stephanie are holding babies, and Brandy's like, do you want a baby, brother Brooklyn? No. But don't you like babies? Okay, you could have one. Like, okay, Brooklyn. So this means you won't scream and cry in your little toy crib anymore? Please don't stop that. It's my favorite screenshot of the show. And Stephanie's like, I'll do it if you do it. So they decide they're going to get pregnant at the exact same time.
And Gary's just like, I feel like I should have FOMO right now, but I'm holding this random baby, and I think I never want to do this again. Have fun with your twin babies.
It's like the only people more codependent are me and Mark, okay? Like, what do you, just call each other? Like, go fuck your husband right now so we can get pregnant at the same time.
So then it's like, cheers to Grandpa, cheers to the Griffin family. You know, there's
can
like
I say something?
Yes.
And I'm sorry that I keep yawning on and on, but...
It's fine.
This, I know it's a shock, but this Grandpa, okay, guys, do they have Netflix health movies? I never want to blame anybody for their health problems, and that is not what I'm doing, so don't take it that way. But she goes, how are you feeling, Grandpa? And he's like, good, you just take your medicine. They're making huge racks of ribs on the
yeah
on the grill.
Blood pressure.
You know you can't be eating like that when you're having strokes right now. Listen, I'm a hypocrite. I will be having a stroke at some point in my life. We all know it. A stroke or a heart attack. We all know it's coming at some point for me. No one will be surprised.
I've had three during this episode.
But just, you know, maybe it's time to lay off the ribs.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Just advice.
I think it's well observed, Ronnie. That's what this podcast is for. It's for education and public service announcements. Lay off the ribs when you are stroke prone.
Yeah, guys. This is a how-to podcast for pawpaws.
So cheers to all of them. It's like, yay, cheers, cheers, cheers. So now it's the next morning. Steph has beer shits, which I thought was really funny. She's like, oh, my stomach gets so upset when I drink. I'm like, yes, I've been there. It's called beer shits. Happens to me every time. It's the worst.
You can't just eat and not, or you can't just drink and never eat. Like, that really does rip you up.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like, she needs us, so work it out. So they get in the car. It's like, this huge car with all the family and the temp nanny and everything.
Yeah.
And she's like, guys, we're going to do something that I used to do all the time when I was younger. It involves poles and cats.
What, are you going to be beating a cat with a pole?
Is this like stripper cats?
Are we just going to be getting a scratching post for cats?
Brandy's going to be doing stripper moves on a scratching post just to get her kids kicked out of the next school. It's like every season she'll do some strip routine.
So in fact, what they're going to do is they're going to go catfishing, which is basically when you go fishing for catfish.
So they basically, oh my God, seriously, catfishing? This is fishing for catfish, not cats, right? And even she knew that was just a throwaway because she couldn't give it her usual zest. She just kind of rolled her eyes at the camera like, look, these don't just come out of nowhere, okay? This is work.
She's like, I already held a random baby, okay? What else do you want from me? I held a baby stranger. So they're putting on, they're all given like worms to use as bait, and Stephanie's like, I can't. She can't like touch it. She doesn't even touch salmon when she cooks it because she finds it so disgusting.
It's like, oh my God, worms. I can't. It stresses me out. You're killing him. You're killing the worm.
Oh.
And she goes, I don't like killing things. It seems like you're going to go to hell. I mean, it doesn't seem like something Jesus would like.
Like, you know that Jesus had 12 disciples and like 90% of them were fishermen, right?
You live in Texas where I feel like someone's getting zapped on an electric chair every day.
Yeah. I think Jesus will forgive the worms.
She's like, but that bullhead we have in our house or whatever. Because you know they've got to have like some kind of fur or exactly. Some dead animal hanging somewhere they own.
I like to think the worms are moving on to a better place. I think if it's a Hindu thing, then the worms are being reincarnated, or maybe that's Buddhist. They're being reincarnated to some. They've moved upwards in life, and if they're going to worm heaven, then I think worm heaven's probably better than being in the bucket waiting to be thrown to a catfish.
Yeah, and she's like, there was never a catfish fishing Barbie. Because Barbie doesn't do that. She moves into plastic crazy Malibu house her husband buys without her permission, and she dresses really well as revenge.
I did like when Stephanie got him. She did catch a catfish, and she's like, oh.
So now, Leanne and Rich.
Leanne's sitting in her at her bathroom, like at her vanity, and the light's just on her face. She has this look on her face like, they'll never leave me home from a trip again. I thought she was going to pull out like a stuffed catfish and start doing voodoo on it, like poking it with pins.
It's like, I bought this little ginger doll and I'm poking it till it dies.
I'm going to sandpaper this stuffed catfish. We'll see who gets out of this trip alive.
Holly Hobby, Holly Headless.
Take those bitches and have some fun. I'm going to have some fun right here. Poke, 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 poke.
So she's like, I'm hurt by the fact that Brandy didn't ask me to go. And then she didn't call me to tell me she was taking them. I thought we built a bond. Fine, take those bitches. We'll have a stroke party here. Rich, get in here.
Brandy, I saw a tweet that Brandy posted where she was basically like, yeah, Leanne was like this close to being fired, and because no one wanted to film with her, and then I was the one who went and filmed with her, and I was the one who basically saved her job. So there, that's the tea. I'm like, listen, Brandy, no offense, but Leanne kind of is this show. Like, the only reason why you guys got a second season is because of Leanne.
Yeah, this is not the fishing trip that's winning this show over, okay? It's definitely the other trip. Girls' night out with the bitchy ladies mocking you guys.
Yeah, like as thrilling as it is to watch you like wade into some water and be like, it's honestly not why we're watching the show.
Yeah, the only gifts I ever see of this show are Leanne gifts.
Yes.
And the only time I see people saying fire that bitch is Brandy. And I actually like Brandy. I don't want her to get fired.
Brandy's funny, but she's also
kind of
like,
but let's not kid ourselves. She's sad. And it was also extremely fucked up that you just used her, whether or not you were real life friends or not, that you just used her until you got Stephanie back, and then not only cut her off, but like did a whole thing without even telling her. That's fucked up.
That is shady.
And you know that's separating filming and doing all that other shit. It was shitty of you, you know? And you are going to get what you deserve, young lady. So
and by the way, that, And by the way, the producers tricked you. If the producers were in here saying, yeah, she's about to get fired unless you film with her, they're tricking you. They tricked you to set up this entire storyline. Sorry, that's how it works.
There wouldn't be... This show wouldn't have gotten picked up had someone not beaten the shit out of a trolley. Okay?
So anyway, so Rich comes into Leanne's voodoo room, and he, like... They're gonna go out to dinner or something like that, and he's like, hold on, let me just tie my shoe, and he does this whole thing like he's gonna like pretend to propose to her, and she's like, oh, Rich, that is Rich.
I'm gonna sandpaper your rotten Rich.
I'm gonna sandpaper your eye patch later.
That was uncool of him. I like that he's joking about it.
I know.
But who wants to be proposed to in a closet?
It's happened many times before. So,
When gay marriage became legal, we were like, okay, let's get married in the closet together. No one will ever have to know until, you know, the will is read.
So now we go over to Memphis. It's like not life in Memphis. It's Dallas nightlife. So obviously we're going to be cutting back and forth between the two groups of women. And the Dallas group is, of course, Deandra, Cameron, and Leanne. And then the Memphis people and Memphis people. So the Dallas ladies get together, and Cameron, they're looking at this menu at this place, and Cameron's like, it says wild boar. What's the difference between wild and regular? And then I wanted to laugh and make fun of her, but then I sort of thought about it. It's like, why don't we have regular boar?
You know, the Moroccan restaurant I used to work at? We served wild boar as a special one night, and someone asked me that, and I was like, it's literally a wild boar. He saw a boar, he shot it, and he brought it in, and I saw him doing it, like cleaning up the wild boar. I don't even know if that's legal to do, but he sure as shit did it.
But I feel like it's like our Chilean sea bass situation, where it's like, it's actually called a toothfish? It's like a toothfish or a sawfish or something like that, but it's been rebranded as Chilean sea bass. So, you know, like, I'm sure there are a lot of wild boars that are just, like, regular boars and pens. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I believe it. That's what I'm going to get to the bottom of.
And, well, she explains it. She's like, well, one boar, the wild boar, got out of the cage and hauled ass. And the other boar was like, I like my cage. Okay? That's the difference. And I was like, it sounds like she's joking, but this woman grew up in a carnival, okay? She's seen boars escape.
She has. And so when the waiter comes over and asks what Cameron wants, she's like so proud of herself. She goes, I want the wild boar.
One day at a time, sister, living on the edge. And Leanne's like, I have a woman crush on Cam. It's not sexual. I just have a crush on Cameron because you're a charity broker and she's richer than fuck.
Yeah. She's like, I just want to ride her. Ew, ew, ew. Like a big old wild boar.
Not in that way.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I just gotta say, I fucking love you. Now, what percentage do you give away to charity every year, and where are those streams leading? What river is that stream leading, and how can I convince you to come to River Lockin? Lake Lockin.
Are we in the Panama Canal? Because I want your boat in my Lockin.
Now, are you going to be a regular Cameron or a wild Cameron?
Or a Kirk Cameron, get it?
Not him, though, because he really... Have you seen those movies he made? Not good.
Not good. Not worthy of the lock and seal of approval.
So she's giving Deandra shit to you. She's like, well, this one's a foodie, or like we'd like to call it, a snob. And Deandra's like, I have my very thick glasses on, mother, so I will not be talked to you like this. She's like, sorry.
I'm surprised Dee did not come running and be like, that is my daughter you are talking to, and the only one who's allowed to say those things to her is me, okay? Protect her.
Deandra's getting bad service, and she's like, listen, I will put this on the company credit card, sir. You show him, kid.
Waiter was flipping the hair and giving me a whole lot of okay, whatever. Iris hair flip. I will not accept it.
Well, if you want your water filled, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna say, I'm gonna get that done on the company credit card, and you'll get your water filled right away.
So over in Memphis, Brandy is talking about how she won't bring Leanne around her family because her girls are scared of Leanne. They're actively scared of her. So Brandy makes Leanne sit out in the car, etc.
Oh, God.
And it's funny. And you say what you're going to say.
No, you say. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say that it's funny that she's talking about it in Memphis because they're talking about it in Dallas, too.
Yeah, and she actually makes a very light attempt. Stephanie's like, so I got to ask, why isn't Leanne here? Not complaining, really, just, just asking. It's like, well, our relationship is a work in progress, and I won't have her around my family because the girls are afraid of her because they remember Mom crying, and they remember what that was like.
Well, really? Because they still hug their father, and he was pretty much the reason you were crying the entire season, and that's true.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that she also looped in the girls about Leanne. You know, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah. So so Cameron is like, she's like, so Leanne, I'm caught up in my own Cameron hole. So I heard that Brandy's husband doesn't like it when you come to the house and you're not allowed in the house and you're like, they hate you and they're scared of you. She's like, huh? That never happened.
Well, that's funny because I just picked her up the other day. She goes, oh, well, you can pick her up in the driveway, but not in the house. She goes, well, next time I know. Next time she throws a party, I'll say, sorry, I can't come to your New Year's party because I'm banned. It's like, you are not waiting till New Year's.
Yeah.
Her ass is going to show. Next time Brandy comes home, Leanne's going to be sitting in the living room with the kids on her lap like, you called? Like holding a knife to their throats, like a sandpaper machine that's turned on. Like, did you have something to say, Brandy? Because I'm about to redo the Brooklyn Bridge.
I liked how Deandra was so annoyed by all this. Because, you know, Deandra does not care for Brandy at all. And she's like, well, you should be happy. You don't have to drive past 635 anymore. Ugh.
I just can't figure that girl out. I mean, hello, are you there? I just don't get it. I mean, how can someone who lives that far be so mean?
If you're going to live that far and make people come visit you, you at least have a good personality, okay? I mean, like, half the time, I think she's asleep. Her eyes are like this. And then Deandra, like, does, like, the Brandy squinty eyes, which really give us an opportunity to see just how drag queen-y Deandra's looking tonight. I mean, she really went all out. She was fully ready for her Drag Race audition.
Yes, and we also got to see Dandra's mom eyes when she was talking to her husband earlier about the lecture or whatever and the other women. She was just, they had a close-up on her face where she was just not buying it at all, and she totally had D eyes. Like, I will not be signing any order form that you bring into my office. I'm missing!
I do love how, like, Cameron and Deandra are like the really rich ones in this cast, and they kind of have no patience for Brandy and Stephanie right now and all these antics that, excuse me, I keep burping up. And so they're just like rolling their eyes. And so they're like, so who do you think's gonna be the one who's the most messed up after this stupid trip they're on? And they're like, Carrie. Yeah, Carrie.
She's going to be fucked in the head.
So then they cut to Carrie over in Memphis, and they're talking in Memphis, and she's like, Carrie goes, I swear to you, if Leanne is talking about us behind our backs, I am literally going to lose my mind. I'm like, well, what the hell do you think you guys are doing?
Yeah, you guys are doing the exact same thing.
Literally the exact same
thing. You're making her sound like some kind of psycho who can't be around your kids. Now, in all fairness, she is some kind of psycho who probably shouldn't be around. Yeah, like, no one's calling Leanne to babysit. You know what I mean? But still, like, you guys are shitty, and this is a secret trip, and it's not nice. And I hate when people do this on Housewives. And they just use each other for these little friendship moments. And then when they're done with them, they're like, well, it was just all because of production.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
So Steph is like, well, does she like us? When she knows that she doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she just dressed as you 2 weeks ago. Like, can we give the woman a break? Of course she doesn't like you. And Brandy's like, yeah, she does. She goes, no, I feel like she doesn't. So Leanne's like, well, guys, here's some tequila. Over the lips, through the gums. Look out, stomach, because here it comes. And Cameron's like, oh, my God. You know what? That rhymed. So crazy. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it.
Oh, my God.
You're like Shakespeare.
You didn't rhyme.
You're like T.S. Eliot. Like, what? Wait, that was a real reference. Yeah.
Jellicle cats are Jellicle coots.
It's like all Emily right. Dickinson.
That's enough from you.
So Leanne is next at her therapist, who's one of my favorite people on this show.
She's great. She's one of the best Bravo therapists we've ever seen.
She's like, hello, Cray Cray. Now, today, would we like to check in on our relationship with the girls?
No, hell no.
I want to talk about Rich. it's been 8 years. I'm still not engaged. I'm like, Leanne, it's time to run. It's time to go. It's over. He doesn't want to make a commitment.
Don't they have common law in Texas? I feel like she gets half his guns anyway. I mean, what else is there?
I already took his eye. So... Leanne's like, I want to say something. I don't know. Should I write a letter? I'm going to write a letter, stick it on a trolley and run it right into the house. No, she's like, no, Leanne, don't do that. You need to say something because a letter could be misinterpreted and you need to use your own voice. She's like, but I don't, how do you push without pushing him? You know what I'm saying? Do you just like slam your hand against him like a trolley? Go bam, you go bam, bam. Bam, is that what you do?
No, you don't hit him, okay? He's not just a random trolley on the street. You want to ride him while knowing that even though you're on tracks, you're at a destination you both chose to go together, okay?
Like, what?
Let me tell you something. By the way, here's my perspective on it. If you've been together for 8 years and you're pushing to say, I want to get married, if that's what pushes him away, it means he wasn't the right one after all. So you have to push actually to test to see if he'll, because you have to do that. You have to push him, Leanne, push.
Well, if he's joking about proposing and stuff like that, he's not just being a dick. Like that guy's like, I will be proposing.
Yeah, he's coming around to it.
He's probably saving the money to get a ring big enough because it's difficult being the only non-rich one in your group of like fabulously wealthy friends. They're all going to look at that ring. And they're all going to be like, oh, how funny that you're married to a man named Rich. That tiny little speck. He probably didn't even have eye problems. He probably gave away his actual eye to get a bigger ring, you know? Like, that's a man who loves you. He just wants to do it right.
I know. And it looks like next week, he looks like he's going to pop the question. But I'm just saying in general, like, don't be afraid. If you're in a relationship after a certain amount of time and you want a commitment, I say don't be afraid to ask for it because... if that person can't give it to you, or if they're going to run away, if they're going to be scared by it, that means that they weren't right for you in the first place.
So well, there. The funny part in this is, like, she never pushes. Give me a break. I don't even know how I talk to Rich. We've already seen you do it a million times, and it's only season two. You know how. You'll be fine. I think it's just don't write a letter because it's evidence. Because you know it'll be like, roses are red, violets are blue, get married to me or I'm going to fucking sand you, bitch.
And this letter was written on sandpaper.
You can either be mine or I can own you, bitch. And she's going to spell own, P-W-N.
I pwned you. That's internet talk. Root.
You either let me poon you or I pawn your ring later. What's it going to be, buddy?
FTW.
So the mom and Brandy are on their way to visit grandma. And her mom's like, are you sure you want to do this? We did just pass a Sonic. We can just sit in the car and cry all night. Like, no, mom. Did you call her?
Well, no, but I texted her jitterbug.
Girl, jitterbugs don't get texted. Jitterbug. She's like, I tried to do a reverse call on her. You know,
help, I fell down. Oops.
What is that? What is that commercial? Do you remember that old infomercial?
What? I've fallen and I can't get up?
Yeah, I've
fallen and I can't get up.
She's like reverse engineered it.
I got up and I can't fall down.
Have you fallen down, Grandma? I can help you get up.
Where's that voice coming from?
So they go off to seek out Grandma, leaving Steph and Carrie back in the hotel. And they're just sort of sitting in bed, having girly time, and... Steph's talking about how her relationship with Brandy is even better than it was before. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes. They're in PJs. Like pajamas. And Stephanie's like, the three amigos, we're back. Okay, guess what you're not? The three amigos. And how dare you?
Yeah.
People.
I didn't know Carrie was one of the amigos, by the way. I thought it was two amigos. I thought it was just two friends.
I think that, you know, I think the relationship with Stephanie and Carrie is actually real.
Yeah.
So Brandy's like, well, if you can't beat them, join them and then dig them out from the inside.
Yeah. So now we go to Deandra and Jeremy at home to have like one last talk with Keaton. And Deandra's dressed fully like a pirate. she's like, all right, I'm getting to character. I'm going to swashbuckle his ass in here.
I would like to thank the camera people for Real Housewives of Dallas for actually sexually harassing the men as equally as the women. Because this shot of them walking into the kitchen, they totally went down Jeremy's body and got a full-on shot of his big old package.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And that's nice. It was nice to avoid like a boob close-up for once and actually go for the package.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks,
Robs.
So Keaton is basically he walks out into the kitchen because he's planning to leave that night in his stupid motherfucking muscle car. Okay, so he's got his little hat on and everything, and he's ready to go. And he's just saying that he just doesn't feel comfortable in Dallas, and he's been there less than 2 months. Okay,
and this whole scene is so perfect because Dandra's like, "What are we gonna do?" Because I'm mad. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I don't even care if that's in a movie. Call me Holly Hunter, network. Like, she's like, I'm pissed. And he's like, now, honey, that's not the news, way.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, broadcast news. Thank you. That's not the network way. Network is we have to away. Listen to it. Thank you. Well, Faye Dunaway, even crazier. We'll save that for later.
Yeah.
So he's like, that's not the way we have to listen to him. My goal is to make him see that his way could be better. Help with us to help him along. She's like, well, I guarantee you it will not change in a year. Jeremy. And he's like, okay, now that's not staying calm. He's like, okay, I'm calm.
Now, to be fair, I understand why Keaton doesn't feel like he fits in, because he's in a house with all sorts of strange animal heads and then, like, you know, like tribal tchotchkes, and he has a stepmom who's forcing him to sell all her random gowns on eBay. This is just sort of not the experience he was envisioning. But that being said, it's also free, so you better enjoy it, sir.
Yeah. Oh, God, to be young again.
Yeah. And she's like, Keaton, if you go back to South Carolina, you're going back to your loser life. Loser life! Don't you roll your eyes with me, or I'm going to take them out of your head, pluck them out, stand them right up in there, and roll them around in the bowl. But they're not going to roll around in your head and me. That's not. They're going to roll in the bowl. Not my head. I'm with you.
I love that. You know, if a mother in Los Angeles said that to her child, she would be in prison.
Oh,
and I love that that's just so Texas. Like, don't you roll those eyes at me. I'll pluck them right out of your eyes. You don't believe me? Go have dinner with Lynn and Rich. It can be done, okay?
He is halfway there, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that little fucker rolls his eyes, which he should know better.
Yes.
So she's after she yells at him, he's like, look, you haven't done anything. She's like, well, really? My heart is beating out of my chest. I just want to understand, what did we do wrong?
Yeah.
She's so dramatic.
She's like, there's no commitment to anything. You don't do anything. She's like, if you graduate in 10 years, I will be very shocked. And Jeremy's like, whoa. Like, simmer down.
And then like, when he said everyone, this is when he's just knowing how to placate. Because he's like, well, you've done everything. It's not your fault. It's all on me. And everyone has their own way to be happy. And she's like, it's not about you. You are so selfish. You have two people who have suffered for you, who have given up everything for. I'm like, you let him touch your eBay dresses. Like, how far are we taking this, Dandra? Like, hasn't he been here 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. So, but ultimately, he's pretty, like, unwavering. Like, nothing gets through to him. So he just sort of gives them hugs, and he walks away, and he gets into his muscle car and drives off. A future employee of Jamba Juice of South Carolina.
Yeah, and she's like, well, I just get anger issues, and, you know, maybe it's about being where you are and not about what your parents expect of you. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. But, you know, you will own, like, a makeup company on Christian TV. So
yeah,
that is more than, you know, mixing carrot juice with other artificial flavors.
Well, the best part is I can totally imagine, you know, 100 miles away, Keaton's driving his muscle car and he's like, whew, got out of that crazy situation. And then all of a sudden, Dee pops her head up from the back seat. Oh, really?
She's changed the map voice to her own. Oh, you're going to make a ride up there if you're not too goddamn lazy to do it.
You were going back to my daughter's house. You were going back to my daughter's house. And you were working for my hard, not good morning makeup care.
Now you can pull over and get some gas when you understand how that gas is paid for.
It's basically like his car turns into Christine, except that Christine is D-Steen.
Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Wait, that's not the right way. I said make a U-turn, goddammit!
I'm not giving you the directions you want. I'm giving you the directions you need.
I'll just do a little Power Meemaw wig on top of the car.
Woo, woo, woo. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Lazy person coming through. Clear the road.
Wait a second. Are you the passenger or the driver? He's like, driver. Wrong. You're the passenger in life. You're not doing anything. I am driving you now.
Loser. So Grandma's house. Whisper Grandma's house.
Yes.
The music's like, dun, dun.
This is literally like Chasing Bigfoot or Ghost Hunters, this scene. It's like shot shaky cam, like very low. It's like low light.
There's a horrifying shot of all the Hobby Lobby flowers hanging off the wreath.
I know. This is like actually a terrifying scene.
There's a little pot of sunflowers that will never die because they're made out of cloth.
And then to make it even more like a horror movie, Brandy goes up to the door and knocks on it, and the dogs start barking, and Brandy literally goes, "Hi, Truffle, I hear you." I was like, oh my god, I'm getting shivers all up and down my spine.
The grandma's like in the fetal position in the bathroom, just putting lipstick all over her face.
Like, oh, you're back. There's like wind chimes blowing. The camera pans out from below a porch swing.
I know she hears me. Usually I just go in the back door. But this time...
Dun, 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 dun.
But the thing is, it's like reverse Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because instead of her like walking in the house and seeing a couch made of skulls and bones, she sees a couch that's like from Kmart.
No.
What if that's not even Brandy's mom's or grandma's house? Like, there's something that just seems kind of crazy about Brandy to me.
Yeah, and doesn't Brandy have a key? Just, like, go in there. Just go in.
But she doesn't. The music is getting scarier and scarier, and we just keep cutting back. It went from Keaton to this.
Oh, yeah. We're pretty much done with Keaton. Yeah.
But she's like,
I know you're home. Please. I've got your Hobby Lobby wreath. I have a bag from Stein Mart. I have a glue gun. Knock, knock. It's Michael's. I have big twigs. They can be put in a large vase.
So she doesn't open, which, you know, I feel like no one would. I mean, we've already seen, you know, you just got moored, girl, because we already saw this with Kenya Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, call first. It's not camera crews. No, no, no. So the mom's like, could you hear him in there? She's like,
yeah, the dogs were barking and the car's in the driveway.
Well, maybe she found a goddamn Uber. You know, maybe grandma's getting late.
Maybe grandma died.
Yeah.
Like she's a grandma.
The dogs are like, help, 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 help. Help, 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 help.
Have you ever seen Panic Room? You have to go in there.
It's the garage.
Oh, so yeah, so she's hugging and crying with mom. I mean, it is sad. That is really sad because Brandy loves her grandma, and so she's sad to be rejected like that.
Meh.
But, I mean, she shouldn't have done it on camera, probably.
Yeah, I don't feel for that. I'm like, this is a housewife show. Do something better.
Yeah.
So Carrie keeps calling, and then she cries to them, and she's like,
she was there. At least I know I tried with a camera crew and lighting and a microphone.
And she's like, come back. Girl party, threesome. So back at the hotel, Brandy's crying, and so they do this, like, gold facial on her.
Yeah, they put on, like, masks. Wasted. Which is appropriate because we just basically saw a horror movie, so now she looks like Michael Myers.
Yeah, and as much as we make fun of these girls, I actually really like everybody on this cast.
Oh, yeah, no, I love everyone. I love everyone. Yeah. The cast is great. There's
nobody I don't like, and I'm really loving Stephanie this year. She's like...
Yeah, sometimes all you can do for a broken heart is just hydrate your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them all. I just feel like sometimes Brandy does stuff where you're like, Brandy, you know?
Yeah, because we all know people like that in life, you know? They're the ones who fuck you, but then they're the ones who get all the pity because they make it sound like you're victimizing them by being mad at what they did. I mean, it's like everything. And she says it. She's like, I can see that cutting out my grandma is the same thing that Stephanie did to me. And that's not okay. So maybe I learned. And I'm like, no, not really, because you just did it to Leanne for no reason. So you're kind of an asshole.
You're kind of a cutter-outer.
Yeah, I'm not really. I'm kind of on your grandma's side.
Yeah,
yeah. You're an asshole. All you care about is how people feel about your tears.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we settled that.
Yeah.
So that's the end of Real Houses of Dallas. Super fun. And why don't we move on to listener spotlight? Shall we do that?
Spotlight.
All right.
Today's spotlight is from someone named L.
L. Okay. Okay, we're going to press play. All right. Pressing play right now.
Well, hello, Ben and whatever. I mean, I'm not really sure who you are, but I've heard that you've had a lot to say about me, and so I wanted to call in and give to Patreon for this one moment so I could play you something that assures you both that I am doing just fine. Sushi boys, hit it!
Would you believe it, girls? I'm getting divorced. Me, Countess Luanne de Lesseps. That's okay. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna act like a fool. I have other plans. It's Taco Tuesday, after all.
Ha ha!
It's all over. I'm at a loss. But guess who's selling her sheets at Ross? I should have known it was all fake. But even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes. Who needs a man who's completely reckless? I'd rather have a statement necklace. So go on back to the Regency, but don't touch Missy. Have some decency. You can find me at Boutique. I'll be with a pirate or someone chic. I only stop on Taco Tuesday, and from now on, I'm doing it Lou's way. To Lou for you. To Lou for you. To Lou for you. To Lou for you, to Lou for you, to Lou for you, to I'm just Lou for you, to I'm just Lou for you, to Lou for you, to Lou for you, to I'm just Lou for you, to I'm just Lou for you.
I'm here for you, Luann, because I'm such a good friend, but let's face it, we knew it would end. Like, literally, we get it, you're no longer his wife. Just kill me right now with a skinny girl knife.
It's class with the Countess, and you just failed. Can't get me back, that yacht has sailed. BL, that's before Lou. BS, that's what I think of you. It's over, Tom, better get going. Gotta talk with Andy Cohen. Pack your bags, your cookies too. The Countess collection won't be collecting you. To Lou for you, to Lou for you, to Lou for you, to Lou for you.
Hey, to Lou for you. Hey, it's time to
Lou for you.
I'm just to Lou for you.
It's not that easy to get over.
I'm just to Lou for you. I'm just too new for you.
You know, we were lovers for like 10 years. I sort of thought I'd get something by now. Thank you note, a flower, anything.
He's totally ruined D'Agostino's. I'll never go back, not even for Pino.
I kind of think he just had his fill.
You don't know what you're saying. Quiet, Redfield.
So like, what is this? Like, you're like, diss track? It's like, you're gonna get back to town, like, with the song. About, like,
listen,
what's gonna happen, like,
I'm too new for you. Too new for you. That's the name of the song. Too Lou for you. What don't you get? Too Lou for you.
Too Lou for you. Too Lou for you. Too I'm just too Lou for you. Too I'm just too Lou for you.
You know what? She's happy, okay? Let's face it, she's happy.
Too I'm just too Lou for you. I'm just too new for you.
Don't be uncool. Quit playing the martyr. That's not how we do it here in Sag Harbor.
Ha ha!
For you. It's just me and Queen Latifah, really. I just fell in a bush.
Wow, that was very stirring.
Thank you so much, Luann.
Yeah, wow. Thank you for debuting your new single on Listener Spotlight. What an honor. That was
I'm really... Too Lou for You. That's the name of the song.
Too Lou for You. Too Lou for You. Don't have time to Lou for you. So,
wow, well done.
Wow, good job.
That was some funny shit.
just to finish it out.
Oh my god! Well, that brings us to another ending of another fun episode of Watch What Crappens.
Thank you.
We will be back tomorrow with some Below Dick.
Oh my God, so excited. Thanks everyone for listening. Tell all your friends about this show. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Oh my God.
Matilda. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. James and the Giant Peach. Mary murdering her husband with a frozen leg of lamb. Think you know Roald Dahl? Think again. 8 new collections of Dahl's dark and twisted stories for adults reveal the darker side of human nature. Available now in paperback, ebook, and audio download.